All right. Praise the Lord. So indeed, that's the good news, that God does love us completely. And this is the beautiful, astonishing good news that we share. People have often asked me, Keith, why do you carry on? What motivates you to carry on doing what you're doing after all these years? In fact, I went into full-time ministry in September 1979. So 40 years ago, I worked with another African organization for 5 years, and I got married during that season. Heidi and I lived overseas. We came back to America in 1984 and founded Mutual Faith Ministries. So 35 years of Mutual Faith, 5 years working for another organization. So 40 years, and I think to myself sometimes, man, after 40 years of ministry, maybe I could have a retirement. Maybe I could get a big-time pension, like a government pension. Maybe I could get something, but, you know, I don't have a pension. I don't have a retirement, so I think I'll just keep preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes people say, Keith, why? What motivates you to carry on? What motivates you? You know, this is why even you have to ask yourself, what motivates you to serve the Lord? What motivates you to come to church? What motivates you to love your wife? What motivates you to love your husband? What motivates you to stay married? What motivates you in a culture that's so fragmented and so contentious and so angry and so frustrated and so confused? What motivates you? What compels you to carry on? And so people have often asked me that. And, you know, people now, when they talk to me, they ask, you know, when I'm going to transition out of ministry. Or they say, who's going to lead the ministry? Who do you have raised up? You know, all these kind of questions and things. And so I've been thinking a lot about it, but I love the phraseology of the Apostle Paul, that it was the love of Christ that compelled him. So I want to talk to you a little bit today. You can follow along in your Bible. I'm going to follow along in your pastor's Bible, but also on my phone in a digital version as well. But go with me in your Bible, if you would, to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. 2 Corinthians 9, 15. Father, thank you for a few moments together. We precious people can receive of your love, receive of your word. Thank you that our hearts are going to be absolutely astonished with your goodness and grace. Thank you that we're believers and we're receivers this day. Thank you you're doing dynamic works of your grace in each of our lives during these moments together. And I say thank you for it in advance in Jesus' name. And all God's people said? Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians 9:15. The Bible says, thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. Now, when I was with you a year ago, I talked to you a little bit about this verse and this phrase, and I can't shake myself from it. This, of course, in context, is about a church that gave an offering to help people in need. And it's a beautiful thing. I just heard in your announcement, you all are helping people in need. You're getting toys for needy kids. You're helping feed people who have needs. All that's a beautiful and it's powerful. And the people that receive those gifts, it will be indescribable in a lot of ways. But I love to think of this verse in context of the gift God has given each one of us in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the gift that God gave the whole world. For God so loved the world, he gifted Jesus. He gave Jesus that whoever would believe and receive the gift would have everlasting life or life in Christ forever. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. But the gospel in and of itself is a powerful revelation of a gift. The gospel is the gospel of the gift. The gospel is not a gospel about what you do to qualify, what you do to be good enough. The gospel is not really a gospel of morals. The gospel is the gospel of the gift, the love of the Lamb of God that's reconciled the world to himself. And so this gift God gives you, this gift God gives me, we have to let our heart be absolutely astonished in the beauty of the Lamb and receptive to the beauty of this living word. This gift God gives us, he gives us himself. And the amazing thing about a gift, it's indescribable. I love that word, indescribable. That means I do not have human language to fully articulate clearly the gift. It's indescribable. I can do my best from the angle that I've got, but it's not going to be calculated perfectly. It's an indescribable gift. What God has done for you, what God has done for me in Christ is really so beautiful, it can't be explained, but it can be It can be measured in your heart. It can settle deep in your soul. It can like intoxicate you. It can move you. It can compel you. It can give you a revelation of Him that you don't know how to describe. It's a redeeming love, and it's a beautiful thing. So I brought a little illustration this morning before I really teach on this whole compelling influence of the gift. I brought a couple little boxes here. This is a little shipping box from our office. And we're all familiar with shipping now, right? With Amazon, and everybody orders online these days. You know, my wife never ordered online until she had both her knees replaced. And I was the head nurse. So I stopped traveling, I stopped ministering, and I stayed home and took care of her. And Heidi fired me every day. But the beautiful thing is she had no replacement, so I always got rehired. But she actually testifies that I did a pretty good job. But you know what Heidi learned when she was recovering from a double knee replacement? She learned how to order everything online. Groceries, everything. And so now, you know, it's old school. Now, when I come home, if I'm in the States and come home from my office, there's boxes at our doorstep. And sometimes I have like a real heartwarming thought, like maybe Heidi bought me something. That's never happened. It's never happened. You know, she's buying stuff for the grandkids. She's buying stuff for whatever, you know. But there's boxes. This box, this physical box, symbolizes you or me according to the flesh. This is our house. This is our box. A box goes through a beating, doesn't it? In its journey on life, it gets knocked up. It gets dinged up. It gets thrown around. Sometimes it takes a bad turn, and it has to recalculate and come back to the proper place. How many of your lives have stories like my life, where you kind of meander, but you get banged up, you get bruised, and you get labeled? See, part of the problem of knowing yourself, according to yourself, you'll live a lie. Because the truth of you is not you. See, labels are things that are put on a box where people try to tell you where to go. Huh? People try to tell you who you are. Huh? And your mama labeled you, your daddy labeled you, your ex-boyfriend, he said something nasty to you, your third wife, she told you, whatever, you know what I mean? You've had people through the years that have labeled you. And so you live disappointed with yourself. You measure your relationship with God based on you. And it's always disappointing. And then this is why people, you know, they have teachings in our culture. Now, even in churches, you know, present the best you. Listen, I don't want to discourage you, but the best you is not all that good. So they have fix-up programs, right? Self-improvement. Because they try to measure everything according to themselves. But the gospel has nothing to do with a fix-up program. The gospel has nothing to do with all the bruises and the beatings, so to speak, that the box, our human life takes. The disappointments that we all have. The gospel is about the gift. And the gift is the Lamb. The gift is the one who's reconciled us to the Father. So the gift wraps you. This is you according to the gift. This is you according to yourself. Every day in your life, you have to decide how you're going to know you. Yeah. You can know yourself according to yourself, or you know yourself according to Christ. When you know yourself according to the gift, you know you're good to God. Yeah. See, God does not know you according to you. God knows you according to Jesus. Jesus is your righteousness. Jesus is your wisdom. Jesus is your holiness or your sanctification. Jesus is your life. So the beauty of believing is recognizing God knows you according to the gift. The gift, Jesus, you are Jesus wrapped. You are gift wrapped. And this is not a wrapping that you can rip off, like the little kids will do when they get your presents. They rip out, you know, a lot of Christians think, well, okay, God knows me according to this, but when I act according to the flesh and I'm naughty, I know none of you are naughty because you go to buy his word, but most of us have a naughty moment, so to speak. You know what I mean in life? You get disappointed on the freeway. I was coming to church today and some guy at a light pulled out in front of me. And I didn't say hallelujah. I laid on the horn. You know what I mean? And then the person in front of me waved to me like, I'm sorry. And then I pulled way back. I thought, oh, no, I hope they're not going to buy his word. Hallelujah. They'll rebuke the preacher. See, the preacher had a flesh moment coming to church. But God doesn't know me according to my anger. God doesn't know me according to my flesh. God knows me according to Christ. Jesus is God's opinion of me. Can you believe it? See, if you can swallow it, if you can swallow the beauty of the gift, it's nothing you can fully describe, but it moves you. It compels you. It compels you not to know others according to Jesus. And not know others according to the flesh. You know how you know if you're knowing yourself according to the flesh? By the way you see others. If you're judgmental to others, you're judgmental to yourself. And this is why the beauty of believing is so thrilling when people understand the beauty of the gift. But the wrapping can't just be ripped off you because you had a flesh failure. People say, well, you lost your... You know, there's so many Christian people... Lay in bed and I say, man, I wonder if I'm even saved. I'm such a rascal. You know what I mean? Now, none of you, of course, but there are many, many people who don't have an anchored assurance of their salvation because they believe their redemption is measured on them. Your redemption is measured on Jesus. He does the saving from start to finish. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. This to me is just makes my heart happy. But the gift can't be ripped off you because when you take your place in him and he takes his place in you, you're one spirit with the Lord. Now, I don't know how to describe that. I'm going to leave town and let your pastor describe it. I don't know. It's an indescribable gift. But I love it. I believe it. It moves me. It makes me stay married. It makes me raise my kids in faith, raise my grandkids in faith, love my neighbor in faith, love my enemies in faith. It moves me. I announce the gift. So when I preach to people, I don't preach to people according to their flesh. I don't preach to people according to sin or sin consciousness. I preach to people according to Christ. I preach Christ, the gift. Suddenly there's hope. There's faith. Faith is always present in Jesus. You're never at lack of faith when the Lamb is there. Faith is anchored in him. You don't have to finish the work in and of yourself. This is what's amazing about the love of the Lamb. Aren't I high tech? It's just amazing to me. I am just absolutely unbelievable. Go with me in your Bible to 2 Corinthians 5:14. You all glad you're here? Praise the Lord. I promise I'm not going to preach more than like 2 hours because I got a plane to catch. Hallelujah. No, I'm going to get you out on time. I promise you that. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Do we have any of those verses? 2 Corinthians 5:14. We may not have them. Here's what the Bible says. For the love of Christ compels us. Let's pause right there. For the love of Christ compels us. Notice what it does not say. It does not say, my love for Christ compels me. Let me say it again. Notice what it does not say. My love for Jesus compels me. It's not what it says. It says God's love for me compels me. See, the distinction in you trying to work up your love for the Lord, you'll eventually live disappointed because you're just not that good at it. You have to live your life being loved. You're accepted in the beloved, and your duty as a believer is to be loved, because when you're being loved, you'll love. You love him because he first loved you. Huh? So the key in living and in giving is in receiving. you live being loved. The love of Christ, Paul said, God's love for me compels me. It moves me. See, if you're lethargic in life, if you're lethargic in decisions, in what you know the Lord is quickened to you or compelled you to do, or assignments that he gives you, you know. For example, I was talking with a pastor this week and showing him this crazy thing I'm carrying in my heart. It's insane. It's insanely beautiful. There's no way in the world that it could ever like bubble out of me based on me. It's impossible. But the joy of carrying assignments is the thrill. And that's why even with your family life and your business life, your business goals, your dreams, whatever in life each of you have individually, but collectively as a family, as God's people planted here by his word, God wants you to be compelled to carry the assignments he places in your heart, and he'll show you how to bring them forth. So this is what's kind of cool. He says, the love of Christ compels me. What's the next phrase? Because we judge thus. What's a judgment? A judgment is a decision. It's a calculation. Most times when you talk about judgment to Christian people, they get scared. Like, yikes. They always think judgment is negative. No, in Christ you have favorable judgment. You know, you can go before a judge today in the courthouse and you can have favorable judgment. You can have judgment in your favor. The love of Christ compels you because you have a judgment. What is your judgment? What is the decision? That if one died, who's the one? Who's the one?
Jesus.
If one died, all died. Now think about this. God's faith says that when Jesus died, you died. People say, Keith, explain that. I can't. God saw you in him then. God said when Jesus died, I was there. God saw me in him then. When he died, I died. When he was buried, I was buried. When he was resurrected, I was resurrected. When he ascended, I ascended. When he is seated, I am seated. Keith, please explain it to me. I can't. I'm going to leave town. Your pastor can explain it. Hallelujah. I can't explain it. It's an indescribable gift. But I believe it. Amen. I believe the beauty of what God has done for me in Christ. And I'm included. Paul the Apostle said it this way. This is Galatians 2:20. You all know this verse. For I have been crucified with Christ. Yet I live, not I, according to flesh, but Christ, the gift, lives in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of Jesus, who loved me, who loved me, who loved me, and gave himself for me. Notice his focus was on God loving him, and what did he do in return? He learned to love Jesus. He learned to love the Father. He learned to love people. He learned to love his enemies. And that's what moved him. That's what compelled him. And so I want to encourage you to let your hearts be so thrilled with the beauty of the Lamb that you don't give any time to knowing yourself according to yourself. People who live their lives knowing themselves according to themselves have to lie to themselves about how much they pray, how much they give, how much they read the scriptures, how much they witness. I'm preaching real good now. You know, you gotta tell yourself the truth of who you are in the Lamb. And when you recognize who you are in him, you know what you do? You give, you serve, you love those in your environment. It's your position in the gift. Your gift wrapped. You look that good to God. Righteous blameless, holy, and complete. And I love it. And Mr. Tech is now going to the next verse. Hallelujah. Look at the Bible talks about it. We're compelled. Jesus compels us to do things. So how are you motivated to do these things? Let's take a little example of being compelled. And I'll not use you as an example because I know you all always live this way. But I'll use me as the example. I'll show you the way I struggle as a gospel preacher doing the ministry. See, a lot of people think, oh, life just must be wonderful, and you show these videos, and everything is hunky-dory, and you must just have a life of great ease. Okay, well, let me tell you the truth about me and the way I struggle in my life between the mindset of the flesh and the mindset of Christ. Number one, Jesus compelled us to go the extra mile. To go the extra mile. Matthew 5:41. Jesus says, and whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. This guy says, what a bummer. Keith Hershey in the flesh doesn't really want to help nobody. I really don't. I don't want to go the first mile, and then when I got to go the second, it really ticks me off. Huh? Any of you, none of you, don't raise your hands because I'm just talking about my weaknesses, not yours, because you don't have any. But do any of you have like family members or loved ones or whatever that need help, and then help, and then the second mile, and the third mile, and the fourth mile? Now, a lot of my family in my natural genealogy, you know, the natural genealogy tree of the Hershey clan, you know, it's troubled, okay? It's, if you measured it according to the flesh, it's just brokenness. Thank God a lot of the people in the Hershey family see themselves gift-wrapped, but a lot still don't. Right? So there's a lot of folk that don't understand what I teach or preach or even what I do. They think I'm nuts. But you know what happens when they're in trouble? You know who they come to when they need money? The one they don't like. Because they know I'm gift wrapped. Most of the time. At least while I'm talking to them, I am. But before they get there, this guy throws a fit. This guy yaks to his wife about this, that, and the other and gets all worked up. None of you are that way, though. This is why I love you. Pastor Jan's raised the most beautiful people. But who compels you to go the extra mile? People say, well, Keith, you must really, really get excited about all these mission things. I really don't. I have to stay gift wrapped to do missions. Let me explain. Let's go to a couple mission pictures. I'll just tell you a couple little stories here. This is going, I'm going to be in the Philippines next week. This is one of our churches. You go to the church, you got to walk through the river. You know, you can't hardly get people to come to church when it's raining, you know. Or on a sunny day. Did you notice how good the weather was yesterday and today? It's because I'm in town. Do you know you all would have better weather if Pastor Jan would have me up monthly? Somebody say amen. But you know, I'll just be honest with you. This guy, Keith Hershey, according to the flesh, I'd go to that church the first Sunday. But I'd have to really think about going the second. Walking through rivers? Let's go to another pictures real quick. Riding horses. Building churches up where there's no roads. I buy horses for our leaders. Oh, my goodness. We ought to get into horse racing. Hallelujah. Maybe help fund the thing. Let's go to another picture real quick. Bible schools. This is an unreached people group, the Nobi people. We just started. Look how beautiful they all are. Man, they look absolutely spectacular. Let's go to another picture real quick. Oh, that was the end. Hallelujah. What compels you to do things you don't want to do. You know, all of us have things in life that we don't necessarily want to do according to the flesh. Every day you got to be loved. I guess this is what I'm trying to say. Keith Hershey every day has to spend time being loved. Do you know what I did last night when I flew into town? And then the church was so kind, they got me a hotel room here at the Holiday Inn Express, and I had a nice rest. But through the night, I woke up 3 or 4 times. You know what Keith Hershey had to do when he woke up? He had to be loved. Because my mind will mess with me about things that can frustrate me and get me angry, get me irritated. So I have to learn to be loved and always calculate the revelation of the Lamb. That when Jesus died, Keith Hershey was there. God's opinion said, I died with him, I was buried with him, I was raised with him, I ascended with him, I'm seated with him. I say, hallelujah. I let God love me, that my sins have been forgiven and forgotten, and he's compelling me to preach the gospel. He's ordering my steps, he's making a way. I have to announce it to myself constantly. That's why I'm still preaching today. That's why I didn't run away a long time ago. Number two, real quick, compelled to give extra. Isn't that a bummer? This guy, look at Jesus says, Luke chapter 6, verse 29. From him who takes away your coat, do not withhold your tunic either. You know, Keith Hershey, according to his flesh, is stingy. Tight, thank you. We don't need too many more words, though. That's enough. Hallelujah. Stingy and tight. But you know what? When Keith Hershey's being loved, when Keith Hershey's gifted, I am the most generous person in the world. I do crazy things. I'm astonishingly generous. And I find money. I find revenue streams to build things and do things that this guy did not want to do. And this is why being loved is so important. Let me show you what I mean. Go to a couple mission pictures. This is in Beirut at clothing Syrian refugees. We've closed thousands of them. Let's go to another picture. I've rent apartments for Muslims. $600. $600 a month for that room and the other little room. There's like 10, 12 people sleep on the floor. Muslim people. Rent. This guy doesn't want to pay anybody's rent. He doesn't. Keith Hershey loved to do it as a ministry assignment. So this lady, she looks like a Muslim. She's Muslim. She's Syrian. And, you know, in the Middle East, you're not supposed to, like, touch a Muslim. I don't. You know, here I give you a little hug, shake your hand, whatever. But culturally, you don't hug or touch Muslim women. So I said, you know, I got my hands in my pocket. Hey, nice to see you. Or hey, God bless you. Or whatever, you know. But this woman, she attacks the preacher. She comes up and grabs me and hugs me. And it's like, yikes, huh? You know, like, wow. And she says, I'm so glad for the Syrian civil war. I says, you are? Yes, we lost everything. You did? Yeah, but she said, I became a refugee in Lebanon. And in Beirut, Lebanon, I found the Life Center. And in the Life Center, you all rented us an apartment. And in the Life Center, I met Jesus as my Savior. And I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost and I speak in tongues. Isn't that amazing? See, if you know how to be loved, you'll do things you never thought you could do. And you'll do it with joy. Being gift-wrapped is the key to the way you see yourself before the Father. Because it's the key to the way God sees you. Jesus is God's opinion of you. You've got to become comfortable with him because you'll never be comfortable with you. Right. Right. Hallelujah. Do we have another picture there? This is our kids, all their school fees. This guy didn't want to pay anybody else's school fees. I don't even want to pay my own granddaughter's school fees. You know what I mean? I get so frustrated sometimes when I'm in a flesh mindset, I can be so... This guy is always budget-minded. This guy always calculates This guy is calling-minded. Assignment-minded. Totally different. When you live loved, wow, when the gift consumes you, wow, you find yourself helping people in ways you never dreamed of before. And this is where the gospel calculates a truth in their heart that they can understand and say yes to. And it's so beautiful. Hallelujah. Let's go to the next picture. Is there another picture? Super, because I'm going to be here next month. All these little beauties, huh? Go to the next picture. Is there another picture? This is our two newest kids, like 2 months ago. They're part of an ISIS cell. So in Mindanao, where our life center is, like I said, I'm going to be there next week. They had the military and the police raid this ISIS cell. The father was killed. The mother was taken in captive. And the two kids, you know where they put them? Of all the places they could put them, in the Philippines. They put them in our life home for super kids. You would think Keith Hershey would jump up and down, yay! This guy says, you got to be kidding me. Because I know it's not a sleepover. These kids be there till they're 18. This guy's got to show up. I've got to be loved. In my deep brokenness, according to my box, I have to live loved. I have no other option than let God love me. Let God love me. I believe I'm loved completely. I believe I'm favored abundantly. I believe I'm blessed eternally. Because God saw me in Christ. I'm in Him then and even now. And that's the beauty of the gospel. That's the beauty of the gospel. Aren't these two good-looking guys? I think I'll buy them lunch or something when I'm there. Awesome. Is there another picture? Is there another slide? Oh, another thing. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Compelled to feed people. This guy. Go ahead. No, that's good. Thank you. Keep that up there. That's great. There's a verse that goes with it. Do you know what the verse is? It's in my phone. Look at this verse. This is cool. You got the verse next to that? There it goes. Jesus, now this is the words of Jesus again, huh? Jesus says this, but I say to you, love your enemies. This guy says, what a bummer. You know, Keith Hershey in the flesh can hardly love himself. Sometimes I stumble at even loving my wife because sometimes she frustrates me. Or loving my kids, or my neighbors. Keith Hershey in the flesh can't hardly love anybody. Keith Hershey in the flesh is a loser. The Bible says there's no good thing in the flesh. So why do you keep trying to calculate with it? Let God love you. Take your place in the beloved. Let the gift wrap you. And then when Jesus says, love your enemies. Keith Hershey can love his enemies. And I got my share. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. How do you like people come up and just, you know, in our culture today, people are kind of on the edge, aren't they, huh? Everybody's a little vicious from the whatever, right, left, center, this way, that way, north, south, east, west, whatever. Like, yikes. How you like to have somebody just come up and curse you, call you every name in the book, just call your mama names, just really deal with you and say, man, that was awesome. Can we have lunch? That would be just great, you know? How do you bless those that curse you? Look at this. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. You know what? I have enemies in the gospel. I have people that just don't like me. I have enemies in other countries where they've come strong against our work. The work of the devil in the lives of unregenerated people. I don't focus a lot really on my enemies or tell people about my struggles or trouble. But this is what I have to do. I have to live loved to deal with just the chaos of my life. I have to live loved. I have to live loved. Living loved is my only solution. Hallelujah. Let me show you some verses or pictures. Do we have some pictures with this? Here's, we feed all these people. God bless them all. They're all Muslim kids, really. Coming to Jesus, man. They're born again, now filled with the Holy Ghost. Go to other things. This, I'll be here next week. That's all been torn down now. We have a whole new pavilion. It's cool. Oh, and then compelled to build. Oh, let me show you this real quick. Oh, I gotta show you this real quick. Look at the verse for this. What's this verse say? And when they came to Jesus, they begged Jesus earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving, for he loves our nation and built our synagogue. This guy needed a miracle in his life, so the disciples come to Jesus and try to twist his arm to calculate some works and beauty and blessing of this guy's capacity. One guy built the whole church. That'd be kind of cool. You know, there's so much money now. You guys got tons of money with all the, technology people here in the Northwest, or so. You know, these billionaire class, like they're worth $100 billion, $125 billion. You know, one brother, one person. You know, it's like, yeah, it's unbelievable the way wealth is created. And in Jesus' culture, one guy built a whole synagogue. So they said, he's deserving. That's an Old Testament mindset. Grace is undeserving. Grace is undeserving. You don't have to qualify for this life. You're pre-approved for it through the work of the one that you were in then, according to the Father. God saw you in Christ. You're deserving because of the Lamb. You're deserving in the new covenant because of your representative. It's awesome. So, last New Year's Eve, I was at a little party till about 9 o'clock because I was exhausted. New Year's Eve, you're supposed to stay up, till midnight and be a party animal, right? This brother was down for the count at 9. You know what I mean? I said, Heidi, I can't handle it. Hallelujah. Let's have communion with some people, but I'm out of here, you know? But the thing is, I was talking that night with, Ray and Rita, people on our board of directors. It was Ray's 90th birthday party. So I'm at their house for his birthday, and they were telling me about a person I know who runs a foundation in the Bay Area of California. And they got their phone out and got out an article from the San Francisco Chronicle. And they mentioned this person's name and this foundation that she runs. And she just got a one-time gift of $200 million. $200 million. You think somebody who gave that kind of money? I told Rita, I said, man, let's give my friend Nikki a call. Hallelujah. Tell her, just slide me. Just a drop. Hallelujah. Just a drop. But there's such wealth. But God's not moved by this, but it's there. But what I'm trying to say is what motivates you to build your beautiful campus and have it paid for? What motivates you? See, it's got to be a compelling love that does it. Let's look real quick at a couple things. Do we have any pictures? Oh, this is churches we're building. Let's go to another picture. Churches we're building. Let's go to another picture. We just renovated that place. You know, all the stuff you need, culverts and stuff. Let's go. You know, Keith Hershey in the flesh doesn't want to do none of it. People say, Keith, you must be so excited about building. I'm not. I'm really not. This guy, if you know yourself according to the flesh, you'll always be resume minded. You try to build yourself and know yourself according to resume. Gift minded, you know yourself according to Christ. It's a whole different way to think and live. Let's go to another picture. This is apartments. Now I built my own apartments. Thank God, so I don't have to rent them. Hallelujah. This, you know, I decided to build. I didn't want to do it. This guy didn't want to do it, but the government made me. It ticked me off. They said, you got to separate the boys and the girls. Another whole building just for the girls. Yeah. I wanted the boys and girls just to love one another. Hallelujah. Just enjoy life, you know. So this is it. We just built it. Give the Lord a shout. It's done. Hallelujah. Yeah. Let's go to the next picture. This is a sports pavilion. I didn't want to do that either. Hallelujah. Let's show it. It's done. It's done. So I'll be dedicating all that stuff next month. Let's go to the next slide. What's the next slide? Compelled to share the good news. This is my greatest joy. Let's go next to the next verse. Then the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. How many people has your life become vocal with in terms of not telling them who they are according to the flesh, but telling them who they are according to Christ? And invite, hey, come to a place and feed. Let Pastor Jen feed you with the love of the Lamb. Right. Worship, say hi to somebody, have a cup of coffee. Learn who you are according to the gift. Amen. What compels you to do that? What compels you to go public in a culture that is anti-Christ? How do you share Christ? It's really, really important. Let's go to a couple pictures. Whammy pictures. That's our campus in Beirut. Let's go to other. This is seminars we do around the world. Anything else? Anything else? No, thank God we're all done. Give the Lord a shout, somebody. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Heidi wrapped this box for me before I came. Didn't she do a good job? Hallelujah. So how do you want to see you? According to you? If you want to, have at it. It'll disappoint the heck out of you. Or know yourself according to the Lamb of God, who's taken away the sin of the world. God gave Jesus as a gift to you. Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is who's speaking to you, you'd ask of the gift, and the gift would give you everything you'll ever need. Put your hands over your heart. Let me pray. Father, these are your beautiful people. Let their lives be blessed and refreshed. Father, whatever they're struggling in their lives, Father, you know, I mean, I play and playful and joking and talking about my struggle according to a flesh mindset and just the spirit of my mind being renewed to the beauty of the Lamb. Father, help us all to let our spirit man, the mind of our spirit, be renewed to the beauty of the death and rising of Jesus Christ. And help us make the calculation that it's good, that all is well, that my sins are forgiven, and my sins are forgotten. Help us to reveal this divine life everywhere we go. And friend, if you're sitting here, if you're visiting, and if you've never made a decision to be born again, to receive the gift of God and be gift-wrapped, I ask you right now in a quiet moment, just say, I believe. I receive your love. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. And then tell somebody about it. Tell somebody about it, and you'll grow in the revelation of who you are in Him. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, 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 amen. Pastor Jan, I am going to give you your Bible back. Hallelujah. Hey, I did bring a couple items out here. A new book that we have that our ministry produced. My son wrote it, so it's a good book. If I wrote it, it'd be, But this is my son's like your pastor. Brilliant. When I talk to my son Josh, it's like me talking to your pastor. I marvel. This is on relationships. It's different than anything you've ever thought of. It's all anchored in the union we have with God. It's really, really, really a rich, thorough, researched read. It's half price. It's $10 back there. Also, the book I wrote, not quite as good, but Josh wrote it with me, hardback book called Beloved. It's $10 as well. And if you like this teaching today, there's a 3-CD series on it called Gift Wrapped, and it's half price as well. It's $10 as well. Those three things are there. Love you guys lots. Thanks for letting me hang out with you. Bless you, Pastor.